Episode
22
of the Perth
Podcast.
Yay! Now we've both earned our money, Stoby.
All right, see you later.
Yeah,
bye.
Done. It's just good to meet you. No, no, we should probably do episode 22.
We should indeed.
Let's get this show on the road. Yep. Play the music-y thing.
Do, 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 do.
No, no, play it, don't sing it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're back again. Here we are. Lovely. On an absolutely scorchio day.
It's so warm.
It's mucho scorchio, as that fascio used to say. And the office is boiling, let's not lie. But we'll get through this. We'll get through this. I'll have my butler bring a mop for my head. Was it they offer you an airplanes? You know, do you want a hot towel? I need one of those. But no, it's very hot. The weather has been scandalously good.
Mm-hmm.
And... well, we've both been out, Stoby, haven't we? We've been out and about. It's been good fun.
Yeah.
Actually being places that aren't my four walls. I'll let you go first. Where have you been?
Oh, well, I went up to Spean Bridge, which is just outside Fort William.
Spean Bridge.
me and the wife went up there for a late anniversary present.
Ooh.
So that was good. Knackered from all the walking. We went to Steel Falls. I think you were getting regular picture updates. Went to Steel Falls. Went up Annachmore as well.
Nice.
I went to the Glenfinnan Viaduct and saw the Jacobite steam train crossing it, which
yeah.
was really cool.
It's cracking, isn't it? What a sight that is.
Mm-hmm. It's funny though, because I kept hearing people saying, oh, it's the Hogwarts Express or it's the Harry Potter train. And I'm like, well, actually.
2 hours later and you've explained to them why that's not the case. Nice.
It's red, that's black.
So mini holiday, there's a word I've not used for a long time.
It was great.
Interesting. Good stuff. I've been lesser far afield. So we went to Scoon Palace for the Ardblair Stones. If you've not heard of the Ardblair Stones, basically they are like the Atlas Stones that you see, the heavyweight championships, like, you know, like the World's Strongest Man mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But they've created their own version called the Ardblair Stones, where it's a free event. Anyone can come up and give it a try. And there's all sorts of people there. There were short people, tall people, obviously heavyweight trainers there. Even a couple of kids tried it. It was an incredible event.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always a queue. People were queuing up to take part in this event. So basically, there's nine concrete spheres that you have to lift up onto a whiskey barrel.
Right.
And they go from 18 kilograms all the way up to 152 kilograms, which, I mean, it's just, I looked at it and went, nope.
It's like just twice unfathomable.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's two Stobies. You have to lift two Stobies onto a whiskey barrel. That they should actually repackage it as that. How many Stobies can you lift? So you actually start from the lightest one and you go all the way up to the heaviest one and see how far you get. So it's a thing of time and strength is how they measured it. How many do you do? How long does it take you? And it was just fantastic to see people who are, you know, I think right now people need a wee bit of self-confidence and a wee mm-hmm. bit of a boost to their morale, you know, yeah. and their self-esteem. And you could see people getting it from this, you know, the achievement of getting these stones up. And one of my friends was there and she's quite short. She won't mind me telling people that because she, well, is quite short. And she could have done with a wee bit of a step to get the balls up. But I tell you, she absolutely smashed it out the park, you
awesome.
Know, for the size of her. I she did twice as good, if not three times better than I would have managed. So well done. But it was great to see. And actually, the farmer people were there as well, you know, like the old school farming machines, so the old tractors.
Ah, okay. Well,
so
the yesteryear event kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. It was like the old machines. So it was good to see that as well. And they were all lined up at the front door of the palace. So yeah, really good day out. I was working, unfortunately, so I didn't get to really enjoy it, but it's still good to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, Ardblair Stones, that's ardblairstones.com. They travel around the country, go and have a shot. It's completely free.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I'm getting from what you're saying is it isn't about competing with other people. It's competing almost with yourself to see what you can do there, which is quite a nice t- touch.
That's it. Yeah. And actually, I spoke to the owner. I interviewed the guy that runs it, Charlie, and that's what he said to us in the interview, that it isn't about, or for him, it's not about competing with other people. It's about your own time. And your, it's a bit like playing golf, I suppose. You're always told, don't play others at golf. You play the course.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing. You're playing the stones.
That's awesome.
It was good fun. It was good fun. So yeah, part of the interview for Charlie's actually a video I'm doing for the Perth Highland Games. Let's have a wee listen to what you had to say about the Ard Blair Stones and what the event means to him.
When I was a very small boy, I used to work at the Highland Games. When I say work, I used to run and do the scores between the heavy events and the press. And it was sort of taking part in that and being involved in the games in that capacity that I sort of noticed that everybody seems so far away from the caber and the hammer, obviously with good reason, because of the, I suppose they're quite dangerous implements, but they're far away. And it just seemed to me that they needed something they could get involved with, that people get involved with, and they didn't need to feel awkward or self-conscious about crossing a barrier or getting involved in something, whether it was a dress code or a lack of skill or ability or how they were going to be received. I set the stones up as more of a personal thing. I really sort of as a personal challenge rather than people sort of competing with each other at an event. It's more of a personal thing, I think. And we do get people of all shapes and sizes and ages taking part in the stones, which is a wonderful thing to see. So if you're up for the challenge to tackle the Ard Blair Stones, then check out our website, Instagram, Facebook pages, and see where the next event is.
How enthusiastic does he sound? He's so passionate about this, isn't he?
No, that's what was coming across in my head, was passion.
Yeah, he loves it, absolutely loves it. And it's not about loving the actual stones, it's about loving the inclusivity of the event that he's putting on here. Look out for them. Ard Blair Stones, you fancy a shot, completely free, open to anyone, get stuck in about it.
And that's the exciting thing now. We are heading into a summer where we have events happening.
Well, yes. I mean, is it the energy event? Is that right?
Energy Festival,
Energy Festival's going ahead by the looks of it. I mean, touch wood and all that, and, you know, fingers crossed. And yeah, let's hope some things can actually go ahead. Party in the park as well, I believe.
Party at the park,
We recorded this.
Yeah.
Again, so, touch wood, still going ahead.
And they've picked up some even more great names than they were lining up last year. So they've got like a comedy evening now going on Friday.
Oh, it could be such a good event and much needed to boost people, you know, to bring them back into some sort of normality.
And that's it. And they've got Bill Bailey and Rich Hall.
Oh,
there,
Rich
so
Hall.
I love what Rich Hall. He's brilliant.
I actually watched him on YouTube the other day there, and it's a SNL Saturday Night Live sketch from about, you know, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look any younger. sorry, Rich. But no, there's all this stuff going on, and actually what's exciting for us, Stobie, I think, is to get back out there and do what this podcast is meant to be. Get out there and
absolutely.
Talk to people. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think there's going to be a real boost this year.
Yep. Speaking of boosts.
Boost. Oh, have you got a boost bar? Can I have one?
I was thinking more of a boost to the local economy.
Oh, okay. I'd rather have a boost. No, I'm lying. It's fine. I like economy boosts. What are we talking about?
So our guest for this week, Sarah Russell.
Oh, tedious link. I like it.
Who came in to talk about the...
The Great Perthshire Food Festival, which used to be the Great Perthshire Picnic.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it because I was getting all those words mixed up in my head.
I'd the Great Picnic Festival picnic thing.
I'd have been like, the Great Perthshire Great.
Grapes. So without further ado, I think we hand over to that interview and see what Sarah has to say. We are joined today in the studio by Sarah Russell, the Regional Food Coordinator for Great Perthshire. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Ian. Hi.
The other one, Stobie. Stobie's the other one. Everyone forgets his name. It's fine. So we are here basically, or you're here, more to the point, to talk about the Great Perthshire Food and Drink Festival, formerly known as?
The Great Perthshire Picnic.
So tell us a bit about, what is this? What are we talking about?
So the Great Perthshire Food and Drink Festival is a way for us to get customers into venues. It's a way to showcase, I guess, all the fantastic food and drink offerings that are happening throughout Perth and Kinross. And really just promote what's happening. It's fantastic because the format of the festival lends itself to everybody kind of taking part. It's very inclusive. So if you're a small business who perhaps hasn't had a customer-facing site before, we've had a great cheese producer in the past who doesn't kind of sell direct to the public, who teamed up with another local deli and a brewery to do a beer and cheese tasting, which was fantastic. Really, really good. That was quite interesting. Lots of exciting things come out of the box when people are thinking about how to showcase their product. So, you know, if you were a restaurant, you could put a special on, or you could do, you know, a meal on a particular night. The reason that we wanted to have the Great Persia Picnic happen initially was that, it was just an opportunity for people to take part in the event. It's an umbrella event, takes place over the whole of September. And in this particular quite challenging time of COVID
and what do you mean?
Restrictions and guidelines.
What could you possibly mean, Sylvie? I don't know.
I know. We used to call it a virtual food festival, and that's taken on a completely new
True enough. Yeah, that word virtual has changed massively.
Absolutely.
I think the biggest part of this, now I've been involved in the past through previous jobs and stuff, with the Great Persia Picnic, which is now the Great Persia Food and Drink Festival. And what I love about this project is what you've just said, inclusivity. Stoby?
Inclusivity.
That's the one. There we go.
I was going to struggle too.
It is inclusive. And the reason that we say that is because we I need to stop saying that. I don't work for you anymore. The whole event is based around you put on an event when you want, as a producer or as a restaurant. And that's what I love about this festival. If I owned a restaurant and you said to me, you have to put on an event that Saturday, that's really restrictive, but that's not like this, is
it? Agreed, absolutely. So the event itself takes place over the whole of September. And as Ian has already mentioned, you know, we don't want to make work for people. I think everybody has a really busy summertime, and we hope, fingers crossed, that hospitality has an incredible, very profitable, busy summer. If people sort of feel that it's too much to put on something, to organize this huge big event, or to put on a 65, you know, course taster menu, that doesn't need to happen.
I'm in for that. 65 courses, I'm up for that. Whatever that is, put my name down.
Anyone up for the cup? We've done fantastic things before. We've had collaborations where we've had four chefs come together and take one course each. And we did a final kind of dinner in the Perth Museum, which was amazing.
Oh, wow.
As a fundraising event, which was fabulous. But again, you know, it could be that somebody just puts on a great sort of Persia Food and Drink Festival sandwich for the month of September. Mm. It's just about showcasing Persia ingredients or Persia talent. There's tons of huge amount.
It's a huge span between the farms that we have, the farm shops, the chefs, the producers, artisan shops, you know, everything from the Highland Chocolatier, and who doesn't like a visit there? Right down to just the sandwich shops we have. There's a vast array of food genius in Persia.
I think Perthshire is called Scotland's larder, and it just feels like an awful shame that more people don't come and spend time actually really enjoying what the region has to offer. That often they're sort of on a bit of a rush out to the Highlands or somewhere else. You know, you could really spend time in the area, and that's what we want, you know, the Great Persia Food and Drink Festival to do. It's about showcasing everything that people do, whether you brew or, you know, make cheese or make bread or all of these fantastic things that are happening. And there's so much that people, I think the more that I keep seeing producers or businesses engaging with us, the more I'm like, oh my goodness, somebody's making kombucha now. There's so much creativity and stuff that's happening. A lot of smaller kind of people have gone away over lockdown and have created food boxes, or they've started their own product in their kitchen. There's tons and tons that are happening.
And we've seen a real increase of sort of ingenuity and entrepreneurship in these hard times that we mentioned, that we don't know what we're talking about there. But the whole idea of this has been my business, this shape has been my business for years and years, and that's how it is, to you don't have a choice. I mean, I always hark back to the likes of Willows, for example, never did takeaway. And that was what I saw throughout COVID, was takeaway from shops like Willows, who have gone and right, we can't do what we normally do, but what we do is good. So what we should do is try and get to the people in a different way. And I think that's where we're strong. There's a lot of that as well. It's not just what we do normally. Mm-hmm. You give them a challenge. And I even think to a degree, if you say to somebody, put on an event, well, we've never put an event before, being able to rise to that challenge and do something like your cheese producer who doesn't serve to the public was able to do something because they got together with someone else. Now, that's opening doors they've never had before as well. So fantastic.
And I think it's not just, you know, during lockdown, it's not just the ingenuity that we've seen from businesses. I think there's also been this wonderful almost coming together of a community that says, we really love what we have locally. Yeah. We want to support local businesses. We want to keep them on the high street or keep them in our local area. We want to spend money there. So this is about sort of using food and drink, and tourism as that kind of that bridge. We don't just want to, to bring in people from overseas or to bring in people from further afield. Yes, of course, that's great. But we also want locals to support us. Yeah. Come down, see what's happening. I think there's a real thirst for something interesting and exciting.
Oh, good pun, mate.
I'm so excited.
Is that the first one of the episode? I'm really hungry for it.
this is it. So getting people to come in and again, it's not just about kind of Perth and Perth City. It's also about drawing people out. So maybe you come and spend some time in Perth. You go to the farmers market. You visit some awesome restaurants. You stay in a hotel. Then you decide, okay, you want to go off and visit, you know, a couple of berry farms or go out to Aberfeldy, do some paddle boarding or some river rafting.
Percy's Gin. There's loads of places, so many different
places. Honestly, I mean, I could just sit and fill the podcast with a list of amazing things.
This place is good. And from that point of view of, you mentioned locals there as well. So I think that's really important to note that I think, you know, if you've been in a region for a long time, I think you get comfortable with what you know and you don't see what you don't know. And I think this is an opportunity as well for businesses to gain more local trade that they maybe have never had before. Because, we're creatures of habit, let's face it. We go to the same restaurants, we don't try new things. Yeah. This is a really good opportunity for these businesses to reach out and find new customers.
Absolutely. No, completely agreed.
So from that point of view then, I think, but we were at the start of it, obviously, that it's not till September, which, is rapidly approaching, of course, because this whole year seems to just be vanishing. You're looking for businesses. You're looking for signups.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess I should really explain kind of a bit of the wider background behind the Great Persia Food and Drink Festival. It's part of, it's our big showcase event, but what we have done this year, we've been able to very kindly secure some funding from Scotland Food and Drink and Perth and Kinross Council to help aid recovery of food and drink businesses and food and drink tourism locally. Yeah. So we're kind of an independent or a members organization, really. We're made up by and for local businesses, food and drink businesses. This is the first time that the funding sort of has gone towards, kind of helping out with marketing and putting on this event, but it's also, helped to kind of secure a person, myself, to spend some time absolutely on doing all of these bits and pieces of coordination. So going around and helping to link up businesses, organizing networking, helping to secure training. We've had businesses already that have come to me and said, oh my goodness, I'd really like some more help with learning how to use a particular accounting package or sherbet. We're really struggling with learning how to photograph food really well so that we can, boost our social media. There's so much that's out there. And I think, part of recovery and being a community is supporting each other. So there's a thing called SALSA accreditation, which food producers would get. It's like a quality assurance, and it can be quite a daunting process to maybe go through if you're a small business that hasn't come across that before. So we have bigger, more established businesses who are there to literally offer support and to help smaller businesses through it. There's a wide range, I guess, of what Perthshire is there to do. But essentially, our aim is to make food and drink a showcase and to bring people into Perthshire, and just for us all to kind of benefit. I think, it has implications for long-term sustainability in terms of tourism, employability. Our young people should be really passionate about what we produce and grow and make here. There's job opportunities. There's there's opportunities to bring in locals and tourists and keep them in areas longer and get them sort of, you know, hopefully investing a bit more in the experiences that happen around us. So,
and this isn't a one-off either, because I think the biggest problem that we Perthshire suffered over the last sort of 10 years is the coming and going of such events. You know, it happens once, people get involved, and then you never see it again. Yeah. But this is how many years now?
This is now, my goodness, I'd have to double check my facts on this, but I believe this will be like the, it'll be the fifth year.
We can dub that in later.
Yeah. Yes. I think this is the fifth year
that we've done.
We obviously had a bit of a hiatus during
a certain year, which we will not mention.
Exactly.
It sounds like a really great way for the local businesses to get a wee bit, maybe confidence as well, speaking to people, getting out. Because I think there's going to be a massive sort of social anxiety problem coming up. Not specifically like that, but I think a lot of people are afraid to go out and are struggling to reconnect with the outside world. And for businesses as well, it can loan some place, you know, having your own business and no one to lean on or no one to ask questions with. So
absolutely.
It also sounds like a really great way to do that too.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I mean, the only thing I was thinking was like, the size of businesses, is there like a sort of minimum size of business that would be, you know, like they have to meet certain standards, be a registered company or, you know, things
not
like
at
that?
All. No, we want it to be really inclusive. This there's been a bit of a debate about, you know, kind of Perthshire and Perthshire produce. And I think I need to, for example, chocolate is not particularly a Perthshire grown product particularly, but you know, we have the expertise and the wonderful, you've got Charlotte Flowers, for example, who goes out and forages and makes these beautiful local chocolates. I think, you know, if you're based in Perthshire, you employ Perthshire people, you use ingredients. Exactly. It's about supporting local businesses you know, it's wonderful if you grow and make and do everything on site, but you know, it's not a proviso at all. Yeah. There's no size criteria either. You know, if you're one person making something in your kitchen, then, you know, come along. That's you at the beginning of your journey. And we really, you know, want to sort of support you to go on to bigger and greater things. But equally, I mean, if you're a great big sort of organization or company that produces en masse, or a great big farm, you know, we'd also like to kind of have conversations with you, I guess, to see how we can help and support. There's ways, you know, I'm very lucky, obviously, because we're supported by Scotland Food and Drink. We have links and a huge amount of industry knowledge there. So by no means is it all, thank goodness, resting on my shoulders.
The one Sarah Army.
And of course there's the council as well, who've been very supportive, you know, linking up and helping out there too.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's good, because it's like, Perthshire produce is maybe a big thing, but it's also Perthshire skill as well.
Completely. 100%. Yeah. We wouldn't be anywhere without our amazing people as well.
There's so many. As I said earlier, you're talking from chefs to producers to someone sitting making tablet. There are so many good things out there that a great opportunity to sort of showcase that and get the word out a wee bit. You know, and I know from I've attended events and when it was a great Perthshire picnic in the past. And it's just fab to see people coming together like that and finding new things. Yeah, I mean, I discovered the fudge up at Mains of Teignmouth, for example, you know, and that's worth the trip alone just to go and get their homemade fudge or their you know, in-house made fudge.
Yeah.
You know, I got some food samples that day. That was a good day at the office. but you know, that sort of thing is out there, and it's just finding it, isn't it? It's just knowing it's out there and discovering this stuff. And you know, of course, there's a massive push on sort of the local, you know, holidaying at home at the moment, holiday.
Staycationing
within Britain, of course, but there's so much Perthshire has to offer from that point of view. And, absolutely. So, from a business point of view, then let's talk to the businesses now.
Yes,
I'm a business. I produce something, food, whatever it might be. How do I get involved?
So, very very easy to get involved. We have been doing a small kind of social media campaign through Instagram and through our Facebook page, but you can now go and log on to the website, www.greatperthshire.com. We've got a join now page, which is great. The directory is about to go live, so you'll be able to see some other wee businesses that are on there already. There's no cost at all to join. And this year, you know, businesses have had such a horrid kind of couple of years. Mm. I think everybody has found this particularly tough, and there's no cost involved. So, come along and get involved. Have a look through, see what the benefits are. You'll be included. We do print off an actual sort of physical copy of a brochure. We found that people quite like having something tangible in their hand, and that goes into guest houses. It goes out with a local newspaper. We help to promote that. It goes out. Visit Scotland is also helping to push and promote
And
well.
Is that the sort of, that'll be the list of events? For the punters, as it were. So they'll
that's
be,
right.
getting out there, basically. Yes. It's not just, it'll be online only. You're actually pushing this much harder than that.
No, definitely. Yeah. The festival format itself is very, very safe. I think there's a lot of confidence around. As you mentioned, there's still some anxieties with people, I think, coming out and seeing what's happening. If you don't want to come along to a great big sort of tent, not that that potentially
is going ahead,
there's the game fair that's happening in Schoon in September this year as well, which is fab. So, the Great Persia Food and Drink Festival lends itself to outdoor events. If you're feeling anxious, you could still go down to your local coffee shop, that's still offering wonderful kind of distanced cups of coffee and maybe a Persia cake for the month or whatever the case is.
So a great way to reestablish that connection with your local shops, hospitality
Absolutely.
Shops.
Absolutely. Come down and support them. September is traditionally a slightly quieter month, which is why we held it. Then I think I mentioned, it's very, very busy over summertime. September is a little bit quieter, and there's that gap in between sort of getting ready then for your Christmas time.
Well, it's madness. Just before the Christmas madness, isn't it? And then just after the tourist season starting to drift off a little bit.
So. Which Scotland could be good for, which could be good for businesses who are like, people go away going, actually, we could have our Christmas night out there. Christmas meal there as well.
100%, definitely. It's an opportunity to explore what's happening locally, get out and see. September's still a beautiful month. I think it's one of my favourite months in Scotland. It's gorgeous.
And actually, the way things are now, summer is, we're right now in mid-June when we're recording this. And it's still cold out there. There's still a cold wind blowing, but tomorrow it could be absolutely boiling. So
I should mention Ian is in shorts, so it's not that cold.
But that's just, wishful thinking, really.
Dress for the weather you want to have.
Yeah, exactly. In Scotland, that's a dangerous game to play. overall, the whole thing sounds really good. As I say, the Great Persia Picnic has been well received in the past. This is just the same thing extended on with a much bigger scope, as it were, and actually in a much bigger needed time as well.
Completely. We want to be here, as I say, to help with recovery and getting businesses back up and open and instilling that consumer confidence and bringing in people again, from slightly further afield. Mm-hmm. I think, the other thing to mention is that we're part of the, Tay Cities catchment area. Yeah. So, we're surrounded by some fabulous other kind of areas locally that are part of the same. Somebody said to me the other day, terroir. Air and the sun and the soil is all sort of similar. We're all sort of nourished by the Tay. There's amazing things happening. So if we can draw people over from Angus or Fife and Dundee and things like that, we're all part of the same kind of region. It'd be just wonderful to expand that out.
And so many reasons for them to come here as well, which we'll soon see when the list of all their events pops
Absolutely.
Up
on the web, so. Watch the space.
And the website's a place to look for that in the initial stages, I take it, to keep an eye on there for what's coming up.
Absolutely, yes. So for businesses, certainly initially, and then we have a big push where we kind of then publicise it out.
Exciting bit! What's going
that's
on?
That's right, 100%. And hopefully
the 62 course tasting menu talked about. You're promising me that, can I get that in writing? it sounds really, really good, and I've seen it before. As I say, I've been to events in the past. Stoby, you are coming to a couple. We will definitely do that.
Sounds
Take
good.
A microphone. We could claim it's work. We'll definitely try and get along to a couple of events as well. And we'll report from that at the start of the month and see what's going on. Listen, that's been fantastic. Are you Is there anything else you want to share with us? I don't think so.
Come
and eat, is that it? Is that what we're saying?
Pretty much, yeah. Come hungry. And yeah, I mean, just get involved. It'd be fabulous to see everybody. And I'm sure that local businesses would be very, very
absolutely
to.
Delighted to see everyone.
Exactly,
yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I know I'll be keeping an eye.
Well, there'll be a... On the website, so if people are wanting to actually speak to someone, is there like contact details on the website or phone number?
Absolutely,
email?
Yes. There's an email on the website and I think a contact telephone number. It all comes through to myself, Sarah. Right. So, yeah. It'd be great.
That's fine.
And your assistant, Sarah.
Yes, yes.
We'll deal with it and pass it to Sarah. Well, listen, thanks for coming in. That's been absolutely fantastic. It's a great way to find out about the event and know it's coming, because it's great to know in September we're going to have this. You know, save the stomach, basically.
I know.
Don't eat too much in the month before. Just prepare yourself.
It's so exciting. I'm very, very excited. I think, honestly, without giving too much away, there's going to be some great events. And
She's got secrets, though. She will try and get them out of her.
To be announced later. Dun, dun, dun.
All right, okay. Dun, dun, dun. Well, do keep in touch. We'll certainly post anything that comes up. If you send that to us, we'll get that out. So, you know, people on our website will see it as well. So. But thanks for coming in. Thanks for telling
Thank
us all
you,
about
guys,
it. We'll definitely have
me.
You back near the time. You can tell us about all these cool
Brilliant.
Food events.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Well, that was fun, even if she couldn't remember my name.
I still can't remember your name, Jim. It's fine. I'm looking forward to it. As I said that in an interview at the time, I do like these sort of things. I think you get to find new restaurants, new providers, and just something a bit different, you know. I think you get stuck in this rut of always going to the same place for food or whatever it might be. It's a great way for Persia to showcase what we have.
Absolutely. Yep.
And hopefully into some sort of tourist season for next year, you know. I mean, I doubt this year, let's face facts, but fingers crossed for next year this can be bigger and better than ever before.
Yep.
On that note, are we kind of done? Is that 22
That's us.
Done?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I mean,
we need to go out and find another guest now.
Oh, no. Well, you know what you can do there. People listening, you know, we're looking for Persia heroes. You know, we're looking for people who run charities, who have helped people, who run local businesses, maybe going above and beyond. Who are they? Let us know.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
Stobie, are you one of them?
I'm not really a heroic type, to be honest.
Right, okay. Are you more the villain of the piece?
I'm more a cheerleader.
Cheerleader.
That's what this podcast's about.
Going to take you up in that, get some pictures of you in some sort of cheerleading outfit and a couple of pom-poms. That's my next challenge.
Oh, this is taking a strange turn.
How many
it?
Beers would that take? Should you run a poll? You know, if we get X amount of likes on Facebook, Stobie will put on a cheerleading outfit, you know. That's it. That's what's happening.
Let's see how many twisted people there are in the world.
That's 3 likes so far.
What's the target? 5?
5, yeah. Let's not push our luck here. So, folks, usual script. Please subscribe. Please like us on Facebook. Send us in any events you're hosting as well. If you've got something going on you want us to mention, please put it up now that events are a thing again. You know, Facebook us, message us, email us on...
theperthpodcast@gmail.com.
He almost forgot there.
I was miles away. Or hello@fcpod.net.
That's the one. So fcpod.net is a place to find all the other podcasts in the Perth area that we have brought on board. All worth a listen, especially the science of fiction. What a laugh that one is. Absolutely fantastic. Stobie, tell us a bit about that one.
Oh, I think I did in the last episode
as well. I don't care, do it again.
There's 3 of us. There's me, Stu, and Dr. Duncan Forgan, who's an astrophysicist, and we dissect fiction and see if the science in it is real or not, and how it could be real theoretically in some occasions as well. And it's a good laugh, and it just constantly blows my mind.
So yeah, check that one out. There's loads more on there as well, including local charities. Well worth a listen. Subscribe, like, post us, say hello.
Tell your friends.
Bring us drinks.
Yep.
Nah, that's pushing it. Don't do that. But that's it. Episode 22 is finished. We'll catch you next time.